They, that is the church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Lord, you have impressed upon me from your word a message for today to encourage our hearts and to point us to you. And I ask that your Holy Spirit would open our hearts to receive and move us, Lord, by your Spirit to obey. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In this brief section of Scripture, one can discover the five purposes for which a church exists. You see worship there, as they were praising God and joining in prayer, and the breaking of bread, which is more than just eating together. It's also the Lord's Supper is what's meant by that term. You see discipleship there. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. You see fellowship there as they got together in each other's homes. You see ministry together as they shared with each other whatever needs they had to be, their goods to help those in need. And you see mission or evangelism in that the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Five purposes for the church: worship, discipleship, fellowship, ministry, and mission. Those five purposes are common no matter what church you go to. It doesn't matter the denominational label. It doesn't matter the ethnicity, doesn't matter the nationality, doesn't matter the geographical area. Churches seek to fulfill those five purposes. But each church tends to fulfill those purposes in a unique way to that particular body of believers. Part of that is because of maybe the history of the denomination. For example, there are some churches that when it comes to worship, it consists of the great hymns of the faith and an organ. For others, it might consist of a full orchestra and robed choir. For others, it might be a praise band with guitars and keyboards and drums. They're all worshiping God, but they're doing it within their context. Some churches you'll attend will have a service listed for you in the bulletin. It's a church I was raised in did that, where we knew exactly what was coming next. There was a flow to the service. There was an order to it, and it was familiar. Others are more free-flowing in their worship, but they're still worshiping God. They're just doing it in their unique context, still seeking to fulfill one of the common purposes of worship, but doing it uniquely. Same thing is true of discipleship. Some churches have intensive Sunday school programs. Some have Bible schools. Some do small groups. They're all still seeking to disciple people to look like Jesus. In some churches, the pastor will take a book of the Bible and work their way through verse by verse by verse, whereas in other churches, they may take a topic and take the scriptures that tie into that topic. Each one is seeking to fulfill the role of discipleship in the church, and that's true for all of those common purposes. Today is Welcome to the Family Sunday. It's an opportunity for us to introduce the way we do it to folks that might be visiting us today who don't regularly attend Calvary Assembly. We believe in being transparent and no bait and switch, but letting you know who we are and how we do life. You probably discovered by now we're very relaxed. We have a praise band that we do tend to move here or there, and we might have prayer or might have a testimony, no set order. But what I want to do is take a look with you for a few moments at how we see the overall purposes being lived out specifically here by looking with you for a few moments at our purpose statement. It should be behind me. It says, to glorify God through the power of his Holy Spirit by ministering his grace and the truth of his word so that people can experience wholeness in Christ and share it with others. Those five purposes get lived out through this unique purpose for Calvary. See, we're here, first of all, the way we understand it, notice our purpose statement doesn't begin with moi, with me, with us. Because we here at Calvary don't see the purpose of the church to get, Me, me, me. We see our purpose first and foremost is how do we bring glory to God? How do we honor him? One of the songs we sang about bringing glory to God. That's the way we see it because we take seriously 1 Corinthians chapter 10 where it says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Our belief is here is that we could have great worship. We could crank the songs up. We could get you clapping and tapping and jumping and hopping. We could get you high-fiving and fellowshipping. We could have a great meal in the back. We could give billions of dollars to missions, but if all we're doing is because of us and not him, we've missed something. It's got to be about bringing glory to God. Not just for the 20 minutes that we sing, but all of life is intended to bring glory to God, and we take that seriously. Here to glorify God. But we recognize that to be able to do that, we don't do it on our own strength. Brian shared how, I could do this. Yeah, right. He realized, no, I can't. See, we realize as a church that if we're going to glorify God, we have to do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. That God sent his Holy Spirit to fill those who trust in him, to fill us with his presence. I read that passage in Galatians 4 where it says the Spirit of God takes up residence in us so we can say, Abba, Papa, Father. That kind of relationship with God. We're no longer slaves. We become his children and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We recognize it's the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, just before he left this earth, he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. When Brian and I had a chance to meet this week, he was telling us, Pastor Ray, I don't know. It just feels like this energy. And what I love about him is he's not sophisticated in all that nice little theological. He just tells you straight as it is. Oh, I know, something's going on inside me that wasn't happening before. I just want to tell people about Jesus. You could pick up on that, couldn't you, when he was up here? I mean, you know, he's so low key when it comes to that. He wants to keep his light under a bushel. No way. Why? Because God's touched him, and he feels God in him, and he wants God to do his work in him. This week, I shared a book with him by David Ravenhill called Surviving the Anointing. It's a very good book because, see, if we walk in the anointing of the Spirit without the character to sustain it, we'll crash and burn. We'll be a meteorite rather than a star. And so that's what we're talking about. We're discipling together. But we recognize here at Calvary that the Holy Spirit is not an add-on. The Holy Spirit isn't just some kind of force like electricity. The Holy Spirit is God the Spirit. And that he's not just sort of over there where we just emphasize, you know, God the Father or the Son, but the Holy Spirit is integral to living out the Christian life. So when we do life here, we try to be led by the Holy Spirit. You may find in the course of the service, all of a sudden someone gets up and begins speaking in what sounds like weird stuff. It's like, what are they doing? Do they just get like brain seizure or something? No, whatever. Is the Holy Spirit, it says in the Bible, that the Holy Spirit can fill somebody and they begin to speak with other tongues, language they've never learned, that God then interprets for the benefit of the body of Christ. It happened in the Bible. We believe God still does it. But it doesn't equal Scripture. It's not superior to Scripture. It always will reflect Scripture. But it's God speaking through somebody a word of encouragement, a word of hope, a word of challenge. We believe the Holy Spirit can lead us in service. We might be in the midst of beautiful worship and all of a sudden we'll feel the nudge of the Holy Spirit to move in this direction. We just try to follow it. Because we believe that God's Spirit, who dwells the body of Christ, is desiring to lift up Jesus. So if we follow the lead of the Spirit, the Lord will be glorified. Now some people get a little uncomfortable with that. It's like, whoa, where's it going to go? The Holy Spirit is good. He's never going to do things out of order. But he brings life. And so we are unashamedly spirit-filled and open to the Holy Spirit's work in our midst. So to glorify God through the power of the Holy Spirit, and from there we begin to want to minister grace. At Calvary, grace is a big word. It's an important word to us because we believe that God has acted through Jesus Christ. Not because we earned it, not because we deserve it, not because we've worked for it. It's because God, simply out of his character and nature, decides to extend to us his love and mercy through Jesus Christ. It says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, that by grace are you saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. The only way we get into the kingdom, it's not because of the denomination you attend, it's not because somebody paid money for you, it's because God extended mercy through Jesus Christ. He drew you to himself, and you received him by faith. That's grace. We believe in the God of the second chance here. We believe that God reaches out to the battered, the broken, and bruised and gives them another opportunity to bring glory to God. We're about hope, healing, and wholeness here. We believe that God can take a life and transform it by grace. And so we preach grace. We minister grace. We act in grace towards one another. When we fail, we don't shoot our wounded. We say, how do we redeem this and move you forward? Because we recognize grace doesn't just bring us into the kingdom. As Paul said in Titus chapter 2, it's grace that teaches us to say no to those things we shouldn't be doing in the first place. It's grace that says no to those worldly passions. It's God's amazing love that makes us say, you know what? I don't need that. It's not like God's going to whack you. It's like, why would I want to do that? I just want to do what pleases him. That's grace. Now, don't get the impression, however, that we're a loosey-goosey, sentimental, codependent, enabling church about grace, because not only do we seek to minister grace, we also seek to minister truth, truth of his word. See, if you take grace and you leave truth out of it, then it becomes all about love, all this, you know, kumbaya stuff, and it doesn't matter what you do or whatever. It becomes enabling. It keeps people in brokenness. It says you can keep doing what you're doing because it doesn't matter. Truth says, yes, it does matter. God created you for an infinite purpose. God created you for his glory. And when we don't walk in truth, we live in bondage. It says in Ephesians 4, speak the truth in love. They both come together. See, love without truth gets codependent and enabling, but truth without love, without grace, can become harsh and cruel and like a club that beats people. But when you take grace and you bring truth together, you have redemption. And that's what we're about here. We love you enough to say, come as you are, but we love you enough to say, here's the truth about who you are. We don't want you just to come and stay the same. We want you to have an encounter with God that transforms you from the inside out. It's not enough just to put your, if I could be blunt, your butt in the seat. It's we want to see God transform your life through the power of the Holy Spirit, to bring you back into a relationship with himself, to fill you with the Spirit, and begin to allow you to live out your destiny that he had for you when he formed you in your mother's womb. And that needs grace and truth together. So we want you to glorify God. As a church, we want to glorify God through the power of his Holy Spirit. We want to minister his grace and the truth. It's not just truth, it's the truth of his word. Jesus said in John 17, sanctify them through the truth. Your word is truth. We take seriously the word of God. When you come to church here to Calvary, you're not going to get the latest issue of Time magazine. You may hear me reference it, but this, God spoke his word. It was God breathed, and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. This living word shows us who God is, who we are in Christ, and how we're to live through the power of the Holy Spirit. So you're going to hear me say, thus saith the Lord. Already in the few short moments I've been preaching, I've probably shared with you about 15 verses of scripture. You're going to get the word of God because your life cannot be built on my word, but on his word. So you're going to hear the word of God here because we take it seriously. We believe God inspired this by his Holy Spirit for our benefit. So you're going to get that. And the reason we do all this, the reason we want to glorify God through the power of the Holy Spirit by ministering his grace, truth, his word, is so that people can experience wholeness in Christ. Are you tired and sick and tired of being sick and tired? There is a difference. There is a different way of living. When Jesus came to earth in Luke chapter 4, he gives this sermon based upon a text in Isaiah. It's quoted in Luke 4. It says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach miserable, horrible, depressing news. Did I misquote that? Oh, good news. So that the broken can stay broken. So that the captive can stay chained. so the prisoners could stay in their prison cells. No, he came to set captives free. He came to liberate prisoners. He came to bring life to this world. And not just for you, but for the entire universe. His plan is to put the curse in reverse and bring life to the universe with a new heavens and a new earth. Now that is cool. Now some people get this idea that Christianity is all about the do's and the don'ts, the wills and the won'ts, and it's this depressing thing. It's not. It's about a relationship with God through Jesus Christ that transforms everything. It's a relationship. It's not just about, okay, now that you come to Calvary, here's the list of 15 do's and 14, well, excuse me, 16 do nots, because you're a church. You have to have more do nots than you do. Now, Martin Luther put it well. Martin Luther said this, love God and do whatever you want. What he meant by that was, is if you truly love God, what you'll do will be what pleases him. And I got to tell you this, I've lived long enough and I've pastored long enough to witness people that think they can know freedom apart from Christ. And the freedom you think you have will eventually lead you back into bondage. But the submission you get from coming under God's authority actually brings true freedom. I would never trade my relationship with Jesus Christ to go backwards to what I was. I thank God for that. And this message of hope, healing, and wholeness is not exclusive. It's not just for those kind of people. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son that whoever believes in him. It's a message for you today. It's a message of hope, healing, and wholeness. But our desire is not that the end result is, I know wholeness. Sorry, sucker. I know wholeness. Oh, so bad for you. No, it's so that you know it, so you share it. You give it away. This is the best news that we don't want to keep a secret. So they may experience wholeness in Christ and share it with others. The Great Commission is to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. So that's Calvary in a nutshell. We're here to glorify God through the power of his Holy Spirit by ministering his grace and the truth of his word so that people can experience wholeness in Christ and share it with others. And if you choose to come back and visit us next week, I'm preaching a message called The Transformative Gospel. I'm going to show you how it transforms everything. I'd love to have you come back. Find a church home. But if you're here and what I shared with you resonated with you and you do need Jesus, then Lord, I pray even now you would open their hearts. This was just a taste. It wasn't a full meal. It was a taste of what it means to be part of this local fellowship as part of the greater body of Christ, all seeking to fulfill those common purposes of worship and discipleship, fellowship, ministry, and mission. Thank you for the niche we get to play, and I pray for anyone here that may be looking for a home, a family, that if this is where you want them, that you would just nudge them a little bit and they'd say, yeah, I get it. I want to go here. But it isn't just about us, Lord. It's about your kingdom. So it could be any fellowship where Jesus is lifted up. We just want to see people experience good news. But I do pray specifically for those who heard the message and they did a quick inventory and said, man, I don't know that. I don't have that joy. I don't have that life. I know about Jesus. I learned a lot about him, but I never had an encounter with him like you're talking about, Pastor. Holy Spirit, you're the one that draws. Without fanfare, without manipulation, you're the one that draws. And so I ask by your Holy Spirit that you would draw, Lord. Draw people to Jesus. And if that's you and the Spirit of God is drawing, then right where you are, you open your heart to the Lord. The Bible says that whoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. That you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If that's you and you have been holding on to your own life and God is saying, let go. Let me in. give your life to me, then Lord, right now I pray, may that divine transaction take. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. The Lord saves those who are crushed in spirit. Today, says the Lord, is the day of salvation. Today is the day for transformation, for hearts to be warmed by the gospel. Today is the day. Open your hearts. Open your lives. Open yourselves to me, says the Lord. If the Lord did draw you today, then I'd encourage you following the service to catch one of the members here at the church, and they will gladly tell you more about the Lord and encourage you to begin your journey with him, with the one who is both the author and finisher of your faith.